This is Dr. Tim Turlop from Turlop Chiropractic, inviting you to join us every Wednesday morning for 30 Minutes to Vitality. Each week, we'll be addressing topics that are ultimately important to your health and to mine. Topics about prevention of disease, expressing greater well-being, more mobility, and vitality overall. Join us every Wednesday morning for 30 Minutes to Vitality.
And it's that time, 35 now after 11. We'll be here till the top of the hour, 12 o'clock. I say we. I'm JW. I've got Dr. Tim Turlop in the studios with us, Turlop Chiropractic. He's here every Wednesday, 11:30 to 12, to field your questions. 352-796-7272. If you got a question, it's your 30 Minutes to Vitality with Dr. Tim Turlop. 352-796-7272 or 587-9952. Either one will get you through the studios live with Dr. Tim Turlop.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
How is everybody?
We're discussing coffee. It's so important, and with the cooler weather, you need it. Keep you warm.
So, right, it's a nice thing. I said today is cold.
Yeah.
Wet and cold.
Getting there.
Right? So, and speaking of coffee, that's one of the things that we're going to address this morning, which is kind of great. Actually, we literally were kind of kidding about coffee here in the studio.
And we've got a cup coming. So
we have a cup coming.
I just got a thumbs up.
Which is a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. And this is 30 Minutes of Vitality, where we say every single week that the body was innately created to be healthy, to express well-being.
Mm-hmm.
The only problem is we get interferences to that innate expression. We're either getting stuff that we don't need,
mm-hmm.
that we need to get rid of, or we're not getting stuff that we do need that we need to add. We remove interference, the body will innately express well-being.
Very good.
Awesome. And one of the things that we're going to talk about, because it's an ongoing thing. I think, I don't know when it was, maybe a couple of years ago, I think we addressed on the program, we talked about coffee once.
Yes.
And it's just this ongoing dilemma for people who think that one of the interferences they may have, and I have many people in the office who will say that they gave up coffee because they'd be healthier without it. Right. And one of the first questions was, so where did you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
And why do you think that? And it's become this thing that started back in the 70s, mm-hmm. for goodness sakes, when caffeine was looked at as a demon,
mm-hmm.
and that it was actually presumably associated with elevated blood pressure.
Mm.
And it would actually increase blood pressure. So people were told, you know, drink decaf if you're going to drink it at all.
Right.
Remember, they'll fill it to the rim with brim.
Yeah.
Right? No, I can't. And then you go, no, but it's brim. Oh, then go ahead.
Hey, right.
Because it was supposedly decaf. That was the whole thing way back in the 70s.
Yep.
Right. A lot of people listening to this, they have no idea what brim is.
Well, there's something also called Senka.
So Senka's another
one. You can have another cup. It's okay.
That's an instant one, right? And they have the little green, that comes in the red for regular, green for decaf. Right. And so that stuff became this popular, and I'm just going to say it, it's a myth. It became this popular, it's an urban legend, if anybody's into urban legends,
mm-hmm.
about coffee and blood pressure and that sort of thing, and it being bad for you. And we get it recurrently in the office where people say, oh, I stopped drinking coffee so that I could actually be healthier.
Yeah, gotcha.
Right? And that really is not necessary. One of the things that we need to actually get people to hopefully grasp is that not only is it necessary, but there actually the evidence and the preponderance of studies are actually showing it's actually a good thing.
It is a good thing.
So, right? Not only does it, you know, kind of give a little uplift, et cetera, but there's lots of reasons why it's a good thing. Even in 2015, one of our federal agencies that makes nutritional recommendations finally for the first time came out and said, you know what? Adding coffee, actually between 4 to 6 cups a day,
uh-huh.
may actually prove to be a healthful thing.
I see the phone's on hold here. I believe you have a call with a question, so I don't mean to stop you there.
Probably my wife calling to tell me to be quiet.
Oh, or to bring home a cup of coffee. Let's go to the phone lines and see what's going on here. You're on with Dr. Tim Turlop.
Yeah, doctor. This is Al.
Good morning.
How you doing today?
I'm doing great. How you doing, Al?
I'm out walking my dog right now.
Beautiful.
I'm wondering if chiropractic could help or cure a hernia I have in my abdomen.
Great question. So my guess is it's an umbilical hernia?
I know it's not umbilical.
Okay.
It's above that.
Okay. So it's a midline. There's actually an area in there where that can actually stretch and open up. And chiropractic
Correct.
Specifically, no, there's nothing that we can do to actually facilitate that type of a hernia. There's going to be tissue weakening in there where you've got a little separation from the muscle tissue with the tendons that connect it. And so then some of the colon's actually pushing out against that wall. So there's really nothing we can do. That's one that a good general surgeon needs to be consulted if it's worsening.
If I can maintain the status quo, is it dangerous to have this thing?
It usually is not. As long as it's not as long as your bowel movements are great and it's not becoming larger and larger, it's just it's there and it's been, we have patients who come in with, small umbilical hernias and the hernias like yourself. And as long as it's not progressive and it's stable, it's okay. It's just if it's gradually, usually what we'll see is a gradual worsening of it over time. And that's when truly you should actually consult with your family doc to get a recommendation for a good general surgeon to see if it needs reparation.
Good. Thank you very much.
Glad you called, Al.
Appreciate it.
Great question. Thank you, sir. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Very good.
So good question.
Yes.
Good question. So back to the coffee thing. One of the things that we want to look at is even in 2015, the government, which is usually really, really conservative on that stuff, actually had to come out and say, wow, the preponderance of evidence shows that it's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
We even have one study that used the government's own census data. And here came a cup of coffee right now, delivered by the most beautiful woman on planet Earth. Right. So as we look at this one study using census data, they looked at coffee consumption, and the census data was actually, it was a death. We also keep numbers on death rates, right?
Right.
And so there's data that's associated with that, and people look at the studies, and we actually noticed that the people who actually drank the most coffee were actually lived the longest. It was the weirdest study. When I said, I read it twice.
Mm-hmm.
It went through it because they looked at people who drank no coffee whatsoever. And let's use, I forget the exact numbers, but let's say the average was 75.2.
Okay.
If they drink one or two cups of coffee a day, it actually went to 10, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it went to, by the time you got to 6 to 8 cups of coffee a day, it had increased longevity by nearly 3 years.
Okay.
Right? Crazy stuff.
Right.
Completely the opposite of the urban legend
right.
that has been promulgated over time. We even had where people will come in and say, well, I'm hypertensive.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've actually done it because the caffeine will actually raise my blood pressure.
Right.
Now, indeed, having a cup of coffee, I'll enjoy this cup of coffee right now.
Yep.
Right. Will actually temporarily spike my blood pressure.
Okay.
No question about it. It will actually bring it up. But the study shows when we look at people over time who drink caffeinated coffee, there is no elevation long-term in any way with blood pressure.
Okay.
Right? As a matter of fact, we saw people who drank decaf actually had the elevated blood pressure, not the people who are drinking caffeinated coffee.
Well, it's
funny. Crazy?
It is crazy. And I'll have my 6 to 8 cups in the morning. No problem. I love the stuff. And I'll drink it black. I don't add anything to it. But I'll go to a doctor's appointment afterwards, early in the morning, I've had my coffee, mm-hmm. little something to eat or so,
yep.
and my blood pressure is always a little high.
Yeah. Well, it has that transient effect.
Okay.
So the caffeine actually stimulates a certain part of our nervous system, uh-huh. the sympathetic system, which causes a change in heart rate.
Right.
And causes a change in the way your blood vessels tighten up.
So that's why it makes sense.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's actually research, and we'll actually find that some really high-end athletes will start when they're training,
uh-huh.
will have a shot, 2, 3 of espresso,
uh-huh.
15 to 20 minutes before their workout, because the studies are actually showing it's actually making exercise even more effective at helping the body become more fit, because it does elevate the heart rate just a little bit,
uh-huh.
and it makes us actually ramp up our metabolism even faster. So while we're exercising, we get even higher levels of outcome from the time we put in on the exercise. Crazy, right?
Yeah, it is.
Right? So now, again, 6 to 8 in the morning, that's a lot at one time.
It is.
Right? So during the course of a day, again, most patients uh-huh. would say, oh my God, that's so much coffee, JW.
Well, we're looking at a cup as being 8 ounces, though.
Sure.
So my cup, this is probably a 16-ounce cup.
Yep.
So if I fill this up, that's 2. So that's what 2. I'm talking about. So it's like 3 of these.
Okay.
So
and in the morning, if that's what you're drinking during the day, fantastic.
Okay.
But the weird thing was, and I hate to even say this, but the studies actually looked at didn't show that cap. Now, there are other studies
uh-huh.
that actually showed that the sweet spot was that 4 to 6 cup
range. Okay.
Where we saw real significant benefits in things between 4 and 6 cups.
Okay.
But then saw once we got to the 7, 8, 9 cup mm-hmm. level that we were having some problems.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that part. There's some mixed data on the higher levels uh-huh. of consumption. But anybody who wants to enjoy 4, 5, 6 cups of coffee a day,
yeah,
knock yourself out.
Yeah, I'm probably exaggerating. I probably don't have up to 8, but it's, you know,
right?
three of these, which would probably be about 6. So.
Which is just fine.
Okay.
Right? So we even have studies that, because there were times over time that caffeine and different elements were way back in the 70s again, were actually listed by this group called the IARC as potential and possible human carcinogens,
mm-hmm.
right? Completely ignoring the studies that not only over time have shown that there is no correlation whatsoever with cancers, as a matter of fact, for all cancers in general, showing a slight chemoprotective benefit, that we actually have a reduction in cancers in general. But there are studies that literally will show people who drink caffeinated coffee at those levels, again, 40% decrease in brain cancer risk.
Mm.
Right? Endometrial cancer, 32% reduction in endometrial cancer risk. I mean, it goes through, there's some that are just for liver cancer, again, a 50% reduction in liver cancer risk. So there are guys who actually treat people with cirrhosis and other liver diseases, hep C, blah, blah, right? That actually is so chemoprotective for the liver that actually it's being recommended by a lot of people to actually for protection for people who have liver disease.
Okay, I hate to cut you off again, but it looks like we have another call.
Great.
So we're going to go to the phone lines. Hopefully they held on for us. Thanks for holding, you on with Dr. Tim Turlup.
Good morning.
Hey. Good morning, guys.
Morning.
I got a few questions for you, Doc. About 6 weeks ago, you were on the radio. I was in the car, and I heard you're pretty down on vitamin A. Can you shed some light on that? And I got some follow-ups on that one.
So, yeah, well, vitamin A itself can have real problems. The research is actually showing us the vitamin A can cause, first thing it does is it interferes with vitamin D metabolism. So if you're taking vitamin D to try and get all those fantastic benefits that we get from vitamin D utilization, it'll actually interfere with that significantly. Vitamin A has been shown to actually increase a bunch of forms of cancer in significant ways. All cause mortality, meaning dying from any reason whatsoever, is increased by 17 to 19%, depending on the studies you're looking at. So vitamin A itself is one that we don't want to take in that form. It's always a synthetic vitamin, and it does tend to cause problems. If we're eating some vegetables and some fruits, our bodies will take those mixed carotenoids that we get. Vitamin A is actually a byproduct of this synthesis from those carotenoids in our bodies. And we will get all the vitamin A we could possibly want.
Right? Reason why I asked you, I got a couple of doctors who are pretty big on vitamin A. One being an eye doctor for night blindness, which corrected that problem I had with that.
Yep, sure it did.
Okay, and another doctor who's not an ophthalmologist, but a regular general, he's pretty big on, that's why I was wondering, because you hear all these contradictory opinions, you know?
Yeah, well.
And a person doesn't know what to do.
I know it
helped my vision,
yes,
vitamin A.
Absolutely. And again, with the vitamin A, what we're looking at with night vision as well, if we have the mixed carotenoids, your mm-hmm. body will synthesize all the A you could use. There's lots of other antioxidants, and mixed antioxidants that can be used, astaxanthin and a bunch of different ones in combination that can be used to facilitate that as well. And the body will use that to actually build the vitamin A.
Okay, next question. Do you know anything about bugleweed?
Bugleweed, I'm going to blow a bugle and say you got me on that one.
Okay. You go in these health food stores and they got all these fancy-smancy herbs from all over the world. One claims to give you an IQ of 500. Another one guarantees you'll be look like 20 if you're 80.
Right.
You know, it's like none of this stuff is regulated, you know. And they suppose this one that does this and that, and we'll move on from that one. Next question, microwave ovens. Controversy on that. Some places overseas do not allow microwaves, and there's some say it changes the whole chemistry of food, and when you put it in your stomach, it's actually causes more harm than good, microwaving food. What's the story on that?
Okay, go ahead.
So there's mixed data on that. It does actually change some of the food characters at the cellular level. There's nothing that we have that shows that, oh my gosh, eating out of a microwave will kill you. I can tell you that we haven't used a microwave in my home for more than 20 years for that very reason.
You don't like it?
I do not like it.
Okay, so you're in the camp that it's probably not good for you.
I'm in the camp of better safe than sorry.
Sorry. Okay, last question, and I'll let you go. Fluoride, a lot of controversy on that. You hear the opponents of it tell you that it causes your bones to be brittle. It's bad for you. It's a byproduct of aluminum, and the aluminum industry just tries to find a way to get rid of it, so they put it in the water. And then you hear the other side telling you, you know, it's the best thing since sliced bread. So, what's your thoughts on it?
Well, again, there's a good amount of research that's done on fluoride. We've talked a little bit about it on the program before. I'm not a huge fan of fluoride. Topical application for the teeth, which is the whole point of actually is to for preservation of the enamel in the tooth itself, can be okay. I did have it systemically. There is some data that shows that it, when you say the aluminum, fluoride and aluminum are completely different elements. And so they get a lot of fluoride from scrubbers from industrial stacks. So it's really, it's not fluoride and aluminum, different beasts.
Well, I know when you call up the, toothpaste company and they tell you do not swallow this, and you ask them what's in it that they don't want you to swallow, they tell you the fluoride is poisonous. I'm like, why would you put it in drinking water then?
You're exactly correct. So, and again, is that one of the things where I say better safe than sorry? Because again, we have never used it. I've always used reverse osmosis with my children who are now 25, 24, and 18, and they have no cavities. And they've never used fluoride whatsoever.
So, that's just us.
You got it. Thanks for calling. Okay.
All right, very good. And, boy, you cover a lot of subjects.
There you go.
Yeah, and let's go back. I want to just make something straight. The sliced bread, make sure it's Ezekiel bread.
Exactly. Okay. Thank you very much. Someone was listening to me. Right? So, and mentioning a little bit about conservatives. So we talk about decaf. Now, drinking decaf, some people, my mother-in-law she'll have one. She loves the taste of coffee, really loves one cup after lunch. She would love to have one after dinner, but it has to be decaf.
Okay.
And that's great. But then when it comes to decaf, if you're going to drink decaf coffee, use it water processed or it's processed with carbon dioxide. There's another way that they do it, and it's actually the preponderance of coffees are decaffeinated with something called methyl chloride.
Uh-huh.
And it's on the list in the government of potential human carcinogens.
Right.
Now, most of it comes out in the processing, but even that last color made me think of the fact that it's better safe than sorry.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to drink a decaf cup that it was processed with methyl chloride when there's traces of it in the coffee and I have a cup or two every day. It's that little exposure, long period of time, one more toxic load in my body. So if it's so simple, great. I just have one cup a day. It's not expensive. I'll get water processed and I'm perfect. They call it Swiss processing sometimes.
Oh, okay. So let's get something straight. Are we talking about the health benefits of coffee coming from the caffeine then?
Caffeine, and it does have some of that, yeah. But there's also lots of antioxidants, polyphenols, and this whole subcategory under the polyphenol category that we find in coffee itself.
Mm-hmm.
Current research in the last couple of years, which was frightening, we've talked about how little fruit and vegetable we Americans are eating on a daily basis. And we literally, it's kind of strange because more than 60% of Americans drink coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And the largest way that we get antioxidants, right, in our bodies is coming from coffee, right?
I love it.
I don't so much, right?
Okay.
So, right? It's just not the best way to get
right.
it.
Right.
But it is one of those, and it's one of the things. So in combination with the caffeine,
uh-huh.
right, we're actually seeing those benefits. By itself, decaf, water processed, or carbon X, we don't see as much of the health benefit.
Okay.
So the caffeine does have some component on that. Even for Alzheimer's disease and dementia.
Uh-huh.
We're seeing a chemoprotective benefit from people who drink 5-6 cups of coffee a day. Their risk of Alzheimer's disease is significantly lower, right, than people who drink no coffee at all. And what's ironic is then people who aren't drinking it, many are doing it because they go, I don't want to have the health consequence of that.
Yeah.
So my mother-in-law, again, when she wants to drink decaf, I just make sure, like, hey, great, Rose. Her name is Rose. And I go, like, great, Rose, and just make sure it's carbon dioxide or water process, Swiss process.
Okay.
And those two processes are when some people want to buy organic coffee,
uh-huh.
right? If it's organic decaf, it will be one of those two ways. They will not use methyl chloride to actually decaffeinate the coffee when you get the organic stuff.
What about a half-half blend? I've seen half-half, you know.
Sure. It's just for somebody who's more sensitive to the caffeine, uh-huh. because she literally gets uncomfortable. And I have patients who say, I drink one cup and I just get
jittery.
Ooh, I get jittery, right? For some strange reason, when I drink black unsweetened tea, I get jittery.
Huh.
It's got less caffeine than coffee,
but
I get jittery.
Okay.
Go figure. Right. So I don't drink it myself because I get jittery. I drink coffee, I don't get jittery.
Mm.
Right. I love the flavor.
It's
just great.
Yeah.
So, and the other thing when it comes to coffee as well, sometimes people will see I won't get into specific brands and that's not my place, right? But if you look and they'll say sun grown or shade grown, right? Mm-hmm. That's really usually you'll see shade grown is mm-hmm. the big one.
Yep.
And that really is the natural way that coffee grows.
Okay.
It is a shade plant, right? So mm-hmm. it grows best in the shade. And when it's in the shade, they don't have to use as much chemicals when they're spraying on it to actually pesticides, herbicides, blah, yeah. blah. When it's grown in the shade, because the plant is growing, it grows healthfully and naturally. But to increase yield, they'll take the side of a mountain and they'll just take everything down to plant the coffee at, you know, 5,000, 6,000 feet, but there's no shade.
Right.
So now it takes a great deal of pesticide and herbicide to make the coffee as well. So shade grown, if you're looking and you're concerned about that, shade grown is the best coffee to actually get because it has fewer chemicals on it as well. Kind of an interesting side
it
note
is, yeah.
When it comes to that. So the other thing when it comes to water, we've talked about water on several programs in the past, clean water. Because again, what's the biggest, as I'm holding this cup of coffee, mm-hmm. what's the biggest component of this coffee?
Water.
The water,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm drinking water that may have pollutants and I'm doing 5-6 cups of that in a day,
mm-hmm.
right? Again, I'm adding to my load. So if I want to have the benefits of the coffee and no downturns,
mm-hmm.
right, would I use a shade-grown coffee and use reverse osmosis water
yeah.
to make my coffee with?
Right.
Absolutely. Right? Then I say, suck it down and enjoy it and stop worrying about anything because there are real benefits to this on lots of levels.
Yeah.
So from cancer, we look at people and say, well, the cardiovascular disease, which could fall under the categories, as we mentioned, of stroke, heart attack, congestive arterial disease, atherosclerosis, that fall under those the congestive vascular diseases, right? I'm sorry, but the research shows that we benefit drinking coffee for those very diseases that some people stop drinking coffee for.
Yeah.
Crazy.
It is.
It's crazy. So there's no downside that's significant. There's some research, but when you put them together, you'll see an isolated study here or there. But when they'll do a meta-analysis,
mm-hmm.
and we've talked about that fancy word before, and it just means they'll get like these 19 studies, and they put the data together to look at the broader picture, right? So one study might show something and go, oh, look at that. But when you put it together with the bulk of the studies to look at what the preponderance of evidence is showing us, mm-hmm. right, it does not show that.
Right.
You get an isolated study here or there, but the preponderance of the evidence is well in favor of drinking coffee. Now, if somebody's not drinking coffee, would I turn around and say, hey, JW, you don't drink coffee? Hey, I want you to drink 4 cups of coffee a day as a health beverage.
Yep.
I'm not doing that.
No.
Right? If you're drinking it, enjoy it. The only other side with that too, because some people in our office, and I'm guilty, we actually have, you know, coffee makers out in front. And of course, our coffees are made with reverse osmosis water. That's all we serve our patients. Right. And we have things that are out there and they're naturally brewed and we've got organic rainforest blends and all that cool stuff.
Oh,
do we have some cream out there? We do. You know, I hope people don't use it, but when we're actually looking at the benefits of coffee, it's not adding the creamers. It's not adding the powdered creamers.
Yeah.
It's not adding the squirt of vanilla flavoring. It's not adding 3 teaspoons of sugar. We've all sat at a table with somebody and said, do you want some coffee with that sugar?
Right.
Right. Because, I mean, there's like 6 teaspoons of sugar going into the cup of coffee.
And then whipped cream on top of that.
Oh, my God.
Good Lord.
Right. So, yeah. I mean, that actually becomes deleterious.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That is a problem. That is not where we're going to get any benefit. So anybody who's listening said, oh, great, I'm drinking 4 cups of coffee a day, but you're having 2 teaspoons of sugar
mm-hmm.
and cream in every one of those cups, too. It's a problem.
Mm.
Right. What we're talking about is black coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and I understand people who are listening who go through that too, because I used to be a cream in my coffee drinker.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I just, the thought of drinking it without a little cream in it was, or half and half or something, right, was just crazy. And I was like, it doesn't taste good. I don't like it. And eventually I was going to stop.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started drinking it without it. I drank less. But then over time, I was like, this is really good.
Yeah.
This is really good.
Yep.
Right, it took a little time to cycle back, and now if somebody hands me a cup of coffee with cream by accident, and I take a sip, I'm like, bleh,
mm-hmm.
that's not very good.
Yeah,
it doesn't have the appeal to me on any level anymore. Right, so it is very easy to change. If you're doing it, you don't want to give up coffee, but you want to like, you can do it, right? In the immortal words
Tony
of the character in Waterboy.
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah, that too.
You can do it, right? So it's just one of the things that we want to make sure we understand. It's black coffee, please.
Okay, so why are doctors seeing this thing differently. Like some will say, you need to stop coffee. You mm-hmm. need to cut back on coffee. You mm-hmm. need to switch to decaf. Are they not getting the same studies or?
It was, it's some of the things, again, you know, certain family docs and different, yeah. it's not really what they're paying attention to.
Uh-huh.
As you come in a lot of things, I mean, most people when they're going in are going in with some pretty serious diseases. And so they're not paying attention to some of that
right.
stuff. And the research is there. It validates what we're saying. It's like, again, somebody would say, well, how come vitamin D is so protective?
Yeah.
How come everybody isn't getting their vitamin D levels checked by their family doctor when they go in and making sure they're optimized and in the range that's the most protective?
Yeah.
Great question. Because the data is so supportive of that as to be ridiculous.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
I mean, the book is kind of closed. Now, how protective on certain things? Okay, the book, and there's still studies that show this or show that, right? But it's crazy. Case in point, the study came out about, I don't know, a year ago, let's say, I can't remember, that came out and said, fiber, it does not do anything for colon cancer.
Okay.
It doesn't do a thing for colon cancer. Huh. That is the dumbest yeah. statement on planet Earth. Now, what they didn't tell you in this study is they were using these psyllium tablets. It was an isolated fiber in pill form uh-huh. that they'd have people take in 3 a.m. and 3 p.m, and there was no change in colon cancer while they studied these people for 2 years.
Okay,
great. But not for when you're looking at the fibers that come from broccoli and spinach and fruit and veggies and all that good stuff and from nuts and seeds. That is exceedingly chemoprotective. And that book is closed. There's no arguing.
Okay, my clock is off a little bit here. We're actually done.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I apologize.
Well, let's be quiet.
I guess I'm seeing the wrong doctors. I need to see Turlip Chiropractic. I recommend Dr. Tim Turlip. Give his office a call, 666-2222. That's 352-666-2222. And we'll see you next time.
See you next week.
Your
30
minutes of vitality.